Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 22nd, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, 10 things you should do after every photo shoot. Well, welcome back to another show. I'm really glad to be here today and spending some time with you. I got fun things to talk about. We're actually going to talk about, or I'm going to do the talking anyway, and well, you may be talking back at me like, what are you talking about? But I won't be able to hear you because you'll be in your car. But at any rate, what I'm going to talk about today is I have a list of 10 things that is a little reminder list, and it's something that I sort of developed over time because, quite frankly, these are like 10 things I screwed up on, and some of them I screwed up on more than once. So at some point, I go, you know what? I'm tired. I should know better. I'm tired of making these bonehead mistakes. And so I'm going to make a list. And I actually put them on a little card that I carry in my camera case of 10 things that I should do after every photo shoot to make sure that I don't do a little screw up or a big screw up. And so I'm going to give you the 10 things. And along the way, I'll be talking about them and how they can cause you pain if you don't adhere to this list. And I guarantee you there'll be at least one or two things on this list you go, oh man, I've done that. I feel your pain. I know how it is, and I never want to do that again either. So that's going to be, you know, the bulk of what we're chatting about today. I have a few other things to cover, a little virtual camera club business and so on and so forth, but mainly this is going to be just sort of a relaxing, hey, you know, just things to remember when we're out in the field, working with our camera. Doesn't make any difference if you're working with a compact camera or a brand new Nikon D3. By the way, have you seen one of those things yet? I've seen it three times now. I don't have one, but I've seen it three times now and actually got to play with one. Ooh-wee, my gosh, that's a lot of camera. But anyway, so regardless if you have a new Nikon D3 or just a compact camera, this list will help you, and somewhere along the line, it will save you pain. What I think I'm going to do is actually read off all 10, and then you know, I'll kind of go back through them a little bit at a time, and I'll also post them on the show notes too, so that you can just go and copy them and print them out and put them on a little 3x5 card or something that you may have you know, in your camera case to help remind you not to do this stuff. Okay, now here they are. I'm not going to do this David Letterman stuff. I'm not going to start at number 10 and work my way up or anything like that. It's not nearly that dramatic. But here are the 10 things that I think you should do after every shoot. Set your ISO to 100 or to 80, depending on whatever it is you use as your default ISO. Number 2, set the white balance to auto after every shoot. Number 3, set exposure compensation to 0. Number 4, if you have a compact camera, set the flash to off in the flash dialog there. Number 5, upload the memory card to the computer. Number 6, back up your files. Number 7, format your memory card for the next shoot. Number 8, put a fresh battery in the camera and charge the old one. Number 9, check that the metering pattern is set to evaluative or pattern. And number 10, make sure that auto bracketing is turned off. Okay, those are my 10 tips. Now, right away, you can see where I'm going with some of these. Let's just start with the number one killer. Number one, set ISO to 100. Okay, here's the thing. This is a thing that's funny about photography to me. And this sort of plagued me for years. Because what happens is, in the beginning, you know, you're just sort of this this newbie, right? And so you just have it on auto everything, and you're taking pictures, and you're doing okay. You're getting some decent shots, and you're fairly happy. And then you sort of decide that you want to get better at this, right? So you start learning stuff. You start learning about your camera. You start learning more about photography, all that good stuff. And you start playing with some of the controls. So then what happens is during this process of playing with some of the controls, then you actually sometimes make pictures worse than you would back in the days when you just had on auto everything. And that's just part of the process. We've all been through it. ISO is one of those examples, because in the early days, you just leave it on auto ISO or whatever the camera ships at, and you never really think about it. And so what if you're in low light and all your pictures are blurry? Not, you know, oh, that's just the way it was, right? Okay, so then you start to get smart, and you figure out, hey, when I'm in low light, I can raise the ISO up to 400 or 800 or 1600. And be able to shoot existing light photography. And if I have a fast lens, like a 50mm f1.8, then I can, you know, do almost anything indoors. And so suddenly this whole world opens up to you, and you're shooting away. You have it at ISO 1600. You're getting these really cool shots indoors. You have this awesome shoot. You know, you take the pictures off the camera, you upload them, and, you know, you're just so patting yourself on the back and having a great time. And then, you know, the next day or a few days later, it's a beautiful day outside, and you go, man, I want to go outside and grab some of this. There's big clouds in the sky, and it's, you know, blue, and things are blooming, and I really want to get some, you know, just some right on the screws landscape stuff. And you grab your camera and you go out and you start shoot, and you just have a great time. And then you come home and you upload the pictures, and you're looking at them on the computer, and you're going, well, you know, it seems prettier than that out there. Something's, you know, it's not quite as vibrant as I thought. And so probably you'll look at the metadata or something, and you'll go, oh! That's where you have that moment, right? You have that moment where all the air just like is sucked out of your lungs, because in the metadata on all these beautiful landscape shots you saw, you see that the ISO was still set to 1600 from that existing light shoot that you're so proud of yourself that you did, you know, a few days earlier. And then you're just miserable, right? Because you know there's really no recovery from this. And if you got a really spectacular landscape shot at ISO 1600, you're just going to be bummed. And there's no returning to it. So that's why that's the number one thing on my list of things to do right after you have a photo shoot, is return your ISO. Check it, right? Because you may even forget that you changed it. Check it and make sure that you return it to 80 or 100 or wherever your low ISO setting is. It will save you that moment that I know a lot of you have had. I have had it way too many times. I've had it way too many times. Okay, next thing. Set the white balance to auto. This is another one of my favorite things. I love custom white balance. You know that. I've talked about it a lot. I use the Expo Disc all the time. I use the white balance presets, such as fluorescent and cloudy and all that. I use them all the time. I just love them. I just think that being able to change the white balance is one of the great things in digital photography, because I remember the old days when I had to put filters in front of the lens. First of all, you had to buy the filter. Then you had to figure out, you know, did you have the right filter? Do you have it with you? And then you lost, you know, however much light, you know, that the filter absorbed. And it was I just hated the whole filter thing. And I'm just in love with white balance. Now, but if you do custom white balance for some sort of funky mercury vapor lighting, set it back when you're done with the shoot, set it back to auto. Now, the good news is, unlike the ISO thing, if you're shooting RAW, you have a recovery on this. Because, you know, let's say that you do that. Let's say you do an existing light shoot under mercury vapor lights and you're using a custom white balance. And the next day, you go out and you do that landscape shot again. You pull up the photos on your computer screen and you have the, again, right? But this time, it's not the end of the world, because hopefully you were shooting RAW. if you're shooting with a digital SLR anyway. And if you were shooting raw, then you can change the white balance to whatever it should be, auto, daylight, whatever it needs to be, and all of your pictures will be okay. So that moment of, you know, sheer terror only lasts for a moment if you're shooting raw. Now, if you shot JPEG, then the terror continues, right? You're not done, with the torture. Because when you shoot JPEG, yes, you can correct the white balance afterwards in post-production, but that is a lossy edit, which means then that every picture that you have to do that to, you're going to lose a little bit of image quality because you have to make a lossy edit, and then you have to save the file, and when you save the file, it has to recompress, which means there you go. So in that case, you know, what I would do if you're in that situation, and it's a shot that, you know, you think that's going to be very important to you, open up the original, make the edit, you know, correct the white balance using, you know, the eyedropper in Photoshop, however you correct white balance, and then save it as a TIFF or a PSD file. And that way, at least you sort of minimize, you know, your disaster a little bit. You retain almost all of the quality. You have a bigger file, true, but it could be worse. So if you're shooting JPEG and you forget to set the white balance back to auto, it's not the end of the world. It's not as bad as ISO, but it's still inconvenient. And the easiest way to prevent it is step number two after a photo shoot, return that white balance to auto. Okay, next one. Oh, and this one gets me too. Set the exposure compensation to zero. Here we are, you know, Mr. Fancy Pants out there. I know how to work my exposure compensation dial. I'm shooting something dark. I'm going to dial it down a stop and a half. I'm shooting something bright. I'm going to dial it up a stop and a half. I'm rolling along, shoot. And then at the end of the shoot, don't return it. Well, then there you go. Next time out of the gate, especially if you're underexposing, if you have it like two stops under, shoot, everything is underexposed. And this again, whether you're shooting RAW or JPEG, this presents a problem because that means you didn't capture all the image information in your next shoot that you probably needed, because chances are your next shoot, you weren't shooting black objects like you were when you originally set it to -2. So this is a biggie. Set it back to zero after the shoot. Save yourself some pain. Set the flash to off. That's number four. By the way, I think on compact cameras, on digital SLRs, it's not so much an issue because you actually most of the time have to put the flash on the camera or pop it up or something. But on compacts, I think the default mode for flash should not be auto. I think that's wrong. I think the default mode should be off. I think the flash should be off unless you decide to turn it on. I don't like it that they ship in auto mode, because that means that I can look like a dork, and I hate that. I hate that, you know. This has happened to me. I was at Kennedy Space Center in Orlando taking some shots, and they were pretty nice. They let us shoot just about anything we wanted at the Space Center, anything that we were allowed into. And they'd go, but please, no flash photography, right? So sure enough, you know, you're sitting in this darkened room and there's something really cool like the, you know, Mission Control Center, the original Mission Control Center or something. And people don't know how to turn off their flash, right? And so they're taking pictures and flashes are going off. And I mean, I hope they feel like the biggest dork in the world, because they had just finished telling us, please, no flash photography. And there you are, pop, pop, pop with flash. Now, even if you know better, as you do, I know you do, if you don't set your flash to off as the default position, then even though you're not a dork, you can appear to be a dork in these sort of situations, because you're thinking that your flash is off, right? Because that's your normal position. You forgot to set it at that after the last shoot, and then boom, it goes off. And then you're embarrassed. So just leave it off. And if you need the flash, then turn it on. The two flash modes that I use most on a compact camera, flash off and flash on, which is when I don't need the flash, which is most of the time, I leave it off. those occasions that I do need it, then I just want it on and I want it to fire all the time. I don't really, auto flash to me is sort of just this annoying thing that takes control out of my hand. So after the shoot, turn your flash to OFF. Now, here's the next thing. Number 5, upload your memory card and do that as soon as you can after the shoot. Because until you do, that memory card is the only version of all those photos. They only reside in one place until you copy them somewhere else. And my rule about digital photography is that I always want my photos to be living in at least two places. At least two places. More if I can get it in more later on, but at least two places. So when they're only on the memory card, they're only living in one place, and you want to get them to that second place as soon as possible. So what I like to do as soon as I can is upload the memory card to the computer. Now I have it in two places. And then as soon as I do a backup of that computer stuff onto a separate drive or wherever I'm going to do it, then I have it in three places, and then I'm okay. I can erase a memory card, or if I lose it or something happens, not the end of the world. So you want to, as soon as you can after the shoot, get those pictures copied from the memory card to somewhere else. And then, you know, my number 6, it's not, this is not a great leap in logic. My number 6 is to back up those files as soon as you can. So then again, you want to get them in two or three places. So copy them onto your computer and then either back them up to DVD, to an external hard drive, however you do your backup thing. And Lord knows we've been talking about backup enough lately that you should have some strategy in mind by now. But back them up right away. Then once you do that, once you have them in two or three places, then go ahead and format your memory card. And the reason why in format your memory card is number 7, the reason why is because if you go ahead and have them backed up and stuff, then you just put the memory card back in your camera. Okay, 3 or 4 days later, you're rolling out, you're on a shoot, you go to fire up the camera, you take like 4 shots, and then the thing says it's full. And you go, what? Full? And you look, and oh, you got all these old shots on here. And then you go, did I back those up? Are those uploaded? Can I erase those, or do I have to keep those? And then you have to go through this whole, mental process trying to figure out what in tarnation, is the deal with those pictures that are on that memory card. So if you just follow the procedure, which is, upload them, back them up, format the card, just boom, 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 right? It's right there in the middle of my list. It's number 5, 6, and 7. Then when you go out on a shoot, you have a fresh memory card with nothing on it, and you don't have to think about it. Then you just shoot, right? Then you just take pictures, and then you do the same procedure again. All right. So make sure that that's the last step. Format that memory card after you've uploaded and backed up. Now, the other thing, number 8 here is put a fresh battery in your camera after the shoot and charge the other one. Don't do what I have done before, which is I did the first part right, put the fresh battery in, but then I didn't charge the other battery. I did something goofy, like I left it laying around. So it's sitting on my desk. Then I'm running out for a shoot. Oh, there's that battery. I better grab that because I'm going to need that. Not really thinking if I charged it or not. Then I go out on the shoot. I'm shoot. I run down the battery in my camera, but I'm not really worried because I got that extra battery with me. I go to put it in the camera out in the middle of somewhere fabulous, and it's drained. And then now I'm really, this is the worst of situations because you had the false sense of security. You weren't even worrying. You weren't even being conservative with the first battery because you thought you had another one. So this is a two-stepper also. You change the battery after the shoot, you charge the other battery that you used, and then you put the charged battery back in your case. And you have to do the whole thing. That's something, I think just in general about photography is that you have to do all the steps. You can't do 2 of the 3 steps or, it's not going to work. You have to do all the steps, and that's true with batteries too. All right, number 9, check that the metering pattern is set back to pattern or evaluative or, whatever, the one is that takes great shots 95% of the time. And, I hate this one too, right? Because I like spot metering mode. I think spot metering is actually way cool. And I got turned on to it way back in the Olympus days when I had a OM4, I think, just with this amazing spot meter built into the camera, because you could just like meter on someone's nose or, you know, on their cheek or something, take a reading right off that. And then, you know, the camera didn't just ignore all the bright light and all the other stuff that was all around and just exposed for that one area that you want. And so I think spot metering is way cool. If you don't set it back to pattern or evaluative, though, after your shoot, oh, it can be ugly, right? Because, so then, okay, so you have it still in spot metering mode. You don't realize it. You're out shooting a bunch of stuff. And, you know, so sometimes that little spot meter will fall on something dark. Sometimes it'll fall on something bright. Oh, you know, it's going to fall on everything because that's the way the world is around us. And you pull up your shots afterwards and you go, oh my God, this is like all over the place. What is wrong? What is wrong with my camera's broken? Oh no, I just paid all this money for this camera and now the thing's a piece of junk. And you know, it's really, you just go through this whole disturbing thing. And they're hard to correct too, because unlike a white balance mistake, well, then you can just sort of select 30 shots and just correct them all at once, right? Because they're all wrong in the same way. This is not that way. Everyone is going to be kind of its own problem. And so then you're really looking at a lot of time to fix this. You're going to lose some data because chances are some things are going to be horribly underexposed or horribly overexposed. It's just ugly. So that's why it's on the list. If you use spot metering or partial metering, make sure you set it back to evaluative after the shoot. And don't go through this agony that I have gone through more times than I care to admit. Now, number 10 is an interesting one. And not everyone shoots auto bracketing, but if you ever shoot auto bracketing, if you've only even done it a few times, then keep it on the list. Because I've seen this one get people, and I'm not even going to name any names, but there are names that you will know that have fallen to this one. And so they're doing auto bracketing for whatever reason. Maybe they're doing some HDR shots or they just want to auto bracket or whatever. And then they forget to set it back to zero. So then again, you know, same thing. 3 or 4 days later, you're going out, doing another shoot. And talk about your shots all over the place, right? Because the way auto bracketing works is the first one will probably be the right exposure. Then the second one will probably be underexposed. And then the third one will probably be overexposed. And of course, when you're auto bracketing, you're shooting the same thing. So you get, you know, three versions of the same shot. But if you don't know that auto bracketing is on, right, then you're shooting one shot of this, one shot of that, and one shot of that. And your exposures are going to be all over the place because the first shot will probably be, you know, pretty much right on. Second shot's going to be underexposed. Third shot's going to be overexposed. And off you go in this pattern for the entire shoot. It is agonizing. It is an ugly, ugly thing to look at afterwards on the computer. So if you ever use auto bracketing, it's a good thing to check to make sure that your auto bracketing is off or zeroed out at the end of the shoot. So those are my 10 tips. And if you do them, they will save you. Somewhere along the line, you will thank me. You will thank me. You will invoke my name and go, God bless him, because he just saved me a whole lot of agony. So they are, again, I'm just going to give you the 10 again, just real quick. Number 1, set your ISO to 100. Number 2, set the white balance to auto. This is after every shoot. Number 3, set exposure compensation to 0. Number 4, turn the flash off. Number 5, upload the memory card to the computer. Number 6, back up those files. Number 7, then format the memory card. You have to do all three. Can't just do one of those. Number 8, put a fresh battery in the camera and charge the old one. Number 9, check that the metering pattern is set back to evaluative or pattern. And number 10, make sure that auto bracketing is off. Write these down or copy them off my site, print them out, tape them onto a 3x5 card, use it as your bookmark for the digital photography companion that you're already carrying with you all the time. I know that. Or just, you know, anywhere that you can. And then do it after every shoot. Don't even think about it. Just do it, do it, do it. Like brushing your teeth every night before you go to bed. Do it. And somewhere along the line, you will thank me so much. Okay, let's do a little virtual camera club business. First, I want to start with this month's photo assignment, which is angular. And shots are already coming in, which doesn't surprise me because we're, you know, getting into the latter stages of the month. So there's, you know, you can have, you know, there are so many angles out there. And there's so many angles to this that, you know, you should not have a hard time finding a cool shot. And speaking of the photo assignment, the March photo assignment paper is up on the site now and on thedigitalstory.com. And if you haven't checked out the gallery yet, please make sure you do. It looks great. They always look great. They're so much fun, and it's great seeing some of the interpretations. There were some clever things that went on with paper. I was pleased. I was happy looking at those shots. And I think that the Angular gallery is going to be terrific. You have to the end of the month to get your submission in. And if you have any questions about how to submit a photo to the photo assignment, just go to www.thedigitalstory.com. Make sure you get the in there. And go to the submissions page. Just click on the submissions button. And it'll tell you everything that you need to know. I want to remind you about grab shots. And make sure you send one in. If you're sitting on a grab shot, don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. Share it with everybody. Send it in. And again, you can go to the submissions page on the Digital Story. It'll tell you how to do it. And let's get those up on the site. And then also, I want to remind you about the book, The Digital Photography Companion. If you haven't gotten a copy yet, I hope you buy one soon. There's a link right on Amazon, right on The Digital Story, that will take you right to the Amazon page. And you can get it there. It's about $16 and something cents U.S. And if you want it signed, all you have to do is send me an email and just, you know, give me your mailing address. And what I have a cool little author's plate. It looks really nice. I just sign the author's plate, send it to you, and then you take the backing off it, put it right in your book, and it looks fabulous. So that's you can get a signed copy even if you just order it directly online. And then I also want to mention the Flickr public group. And by the way, that has become a resource for me because, you know, I have this new thing going, this How I Did It series, which I like a lot. So the way that I look for candidates for the How I Did It feature is I actually wander through our Flickr public group, you know, the Digital Story public group on Flickr. There's a lot of great shots in there. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. And that's where I also look for, you know, really interesting shots to be featured in How I Did It. And so if you haven't spent time there or if you haven't, you know, kind of signed up for it, just like everything else on the Digital Story, it's free. And I encourage you to do that. And I want to thank our sponsors, Expo Disc, Expo Imaging. They have a tile. Great way to do custom white balance. And just remember, after you do custom white balance with Expo Disc, when the shoot's over, make sure you return it to auto white balance. And Photomagico by Boink Software, the best slideshow software for the Mac. And Low Pro Bags. And they make all sorts of great gear for photographers on the go. And they have a tile on the site too. Click on it and take you right over to their page, and you can see all the good stuff that they have. They have an online store now too, Low Pro does. So, you know, if your local camera store doesn't carry all the stuff that you want, bags, straps, pouches, you know, all that, then you can go to the Low Pro online store, and you can get all those little goodies that a lot of times you can't find in the camera store. And in fact, they've told me over at Low Pro that there a lot of the orders that they get are sort of the odds and ends that people haven't been able to find in the store. So it's a great resource. If you need a little, you know, something to put your gizmo in, chances are they have it. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the 10 things to do right after every photo shoot. I tell you, it's saving my bacon now. I'm hoping it saves your bacon too. Go out, take some shots, and I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.